Morning, church. How are you? Please turn with me to Colossians chapter number 1. And we'll read together from verse 1 to verse 8. Our message is found in verse 3 to 8. Colossians chapter number 1, reading from verse 1 to 8. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is our faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. Church, what the world needs the most is not more churches, but true Christianity. The world needs people who will be Christ-like in every way. Indeed, there are those going up and down looking for churches because they are tired of today's complacent Christianity. But some are just looking for churches who will speak what they want to hear. And sadly, the church has been hijacked by wolves in sheep's clothing. But brothers and sisters, I need to remind you this morning that true Christianity is a must, because it is the only way to eradicate scandals and bring glory to God. Paul writes to the Colossians from a prison cell. His aim is to combat false teaching and false teachers. His aim is to fight against, if you will, those who are preaching in contrary to the message of the cross. Why will Paul do that? Paul desire to protect the church. And of course, friends, every good minister will want to do the same, to protect those who are in Christ. Paul wants to equip the saints and strengthen their faith. But as he does that, in the midst of that fight or wrestling that he's having with the false teachers and their false gospel, Paul is bringing out in his message the supremacy of Christ, that Jesus Christ is in all and is above all. He reminds the people of God that Christ is the one who lived a perfect life so that those who are called the imperfect of the world may become the perfected of God. But the verses before us are not necessarily about true Christianity. But it is Paul's thanksgiving and prayer for the church. And that is the title of our message this morning. Paul's thanksgiving for the church. And I want you to pay careful attention to the fact that Paul is giving thanks to God for the church because they are Christians. That is why he comes before God on their behalf. He is encouraging them not to look back again, never to look back to the world for help. He commends them for being children of God, especially since they live as Christians. In his opening words, the Apostle Paul addresses the Colossians as a holy and a faithful brethren in Christ. He thanks God for that. He says these are people who are set apart by God and for God. Paul looks at the Christian church and rejoices for the fact that they do look like Christians. They live like Christians. Therefore, he prays for the grace and the peace of God on their behalf. He prays for God's favor upon these people. Paul shows his pastoral and kind heart upon the children of God. Regardless of the fact that Paul did not plant this church, but Paul cannot help but be joyful when he hears of their faithful testimony of the gospel. So there are three main reasons for Paul's thanksgiving towards the Colossians in these verses. Something which should be our point of delight in the Lord as well. Paul has a threefold joy for the Colossians. Something which we should be joyful about and thank God for it. Firstly, Paul is thankful for their recommendable Christian character. A recommendable Christian character. Verses 3 to 5. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. So, church, Paul's comments here in this verse cause us to an understanding. We need to understand what true Christianity looks like, especially in its practicality. Reading these verses, when you read these verses, you can sense the idea that Paul is always and forever praying for this church. But at the moment, he does not go on to expand the magnitude of his prayer for this church. We shall see that in verses 9 to 14 next time. But what he really wants to reveal, or what he expressed now in this text, is his thankfulness for these believers. Paul has received a commendable Christian testimony about this church. And receives such commendable Christian testimony regardless the threats of false teaching and false teachers around the church. The people are living for God. Paul rejoices. Paul is grateful for this vigorous or energetic spiritual life that is bringing forth from these Christian people. Such a Christian character bring confidence to the Apostle Paul. Such a confidence to call these people true Christians. Because friends, unless we are growing in spiritual life, we should not be rejoicing or wish that others may call us the children of God. We need to be desiring to grow into maturity, to know God and know Him and the power of His resurrection. We need to be like children, desiring the infants, desiring the milk from their mothers, because they know without that milk they will not grow, their bones will not be strong, their structure will not form correctly. There were problems around the city of Colossus. There were people causing these Christians to doubt their Christianity. People were causing the Christians to doubt whether they had received the true faith or false faith. People causing the Christian to doubt their relationship and fellowship with the Holy God of Heaven. Paul says to them, no. You are true Christians. And I want to show you two reasons why I will call you true Christians. Two reasons to show you why you have been born from God. These two reasons separate you from the rest of religious people out there who dance around and jump around in the name of the Lord, but these separate you from them. Firstly, you have faith in Christ. What does that mean? You love the Lord. You have chosen God than the world around you. You know that you have a new life in Christ Jesus. Of course, you are not a perfect people, humanly speaking, but you love the Lord. Of course, you don't have it all. You don't have every angle of your life covered, but you love the Lord. We have mistakes in this life, but something has happened We can tell of the difference in your spirit. You also can tell of the difference in your spirit. Since you have welcomed the message of the gospel, we have become someone else. You used to love the world, but not anymore. You used to enjoy wild parties, but not anymore. You used to think that having many girlfriends or boyfriend was something cool, but now you know that it is abomination against or towards the God of heaven. You have come to agree with God that only He is holy, and without holiness no one shall enter into heaven. So friends, these people have shown a sign of true transformation. Those are the only people we can call Christians. People who have shown a sign of true transformation. Their mind is set on the things on high. They understand that they have been risen with Christ. They know that they offered their bodies as a living sacrifice, acceptable and pleasing unto God. They understand that their bodies now is the temple of the living God. But above all, they understand that God loves them. He inclined Himself unto them. He inclined to a position lower than that of the angels for a little while for the sake of His people. Why will He incline Himself so low? So that when He is risen up to power again, that He may raise you with Him, so that you may be filled with the power of the knowledge of the will of God. These people, they love God. In other words, they understand that He died for them. Why did He die for them? So that they may have eternal inheritance, the citizenship of heaven. To walk in these dusty streets of this place and have a home in this place, but knowing for sure that your home is in heaven. You are passing through this world to another world in Christ Jesus. That is the first sign that they are children of God. They love God. But not only is that the sign, I said two reasons. Then the second sign is that, as a proof of being true Christians, Paul says, you love the saints. You love the believers among yourselves. You understand the Christian principle laid out in Scripture. What is that principle? 1 John chapter 4 verse 20. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So the saying is true, brothers and sisters. Love for the unseen God can only be expressed by love that you have towards those that you can see in this life. It is really a shame to find Christians who does not love one another. A Christian who hates another Christian. Did not Jesus Christ say in John 13:35, by these all the people will know that you are my disciples? How are they going to know? If you have loved one another. Friends, I don't know if you love your brother and sister. But you should. That is what separates you from the world. It is your identity in Christ Jesus. It is that emblem of genuine Christian life in you. It shows the genuineness of your relationship with God. That doesn't mean you will not have conflicts. But the question is, when those conflicts come, how do you solve them? Do you solve those conflicts as brothers and sisters? Do you solve those conflicts in love for one another? Listen to 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed out of death into life. How do we know? Because we love the brethren. Who does not love abides in death. So, church, Paul here says we must know what true Christianity is. You must know that you are a Christian. You love God and you love the saints. Why is this important, friends? Because worldly people love one another. The difference is worldly people love those who love themselves. But we love those who love God. We love those who share our faith, even those who does not share our faith. We love our brothers, we even love our enemies. Why do we love them? So that they may come to the knowledge of the truth. Paul is thankful of that testimony, and I hope we also have the same testimony. A recommendable Christian character, which is characterized by love for God and love for the saints. Paul says, because you are Christians, you love God. And for that reason, you have hope, and that hope is laid up for you in heaven. And you can see, he says that in verse number 5, because of all that, we have hope laid up in heaven. Because you have a recommendable Christian character, you can be rest assured you have a home beyond the realm of this world. Secondly, Paul is thankful for the power of the gospel at work among these people. He's thankful for the power of the gospel. Let's read again part of verse 5 and 6. Of these you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. there is power that the gospel is bringing in the life of this church. That is why, church, no man can be a true Christian outside hearing the gospel of truth. And there's no Christian that can be a true Christian outside living according to the gospel of truth. The gospel is the only transforming power that leads to the newness of life. That is why it is recommendable that you remain under a true gospel preaching church. Paul is specifically giving thanks to God because the people have truly believed the gospel. Have you believed the gospel? What does this mean, church? These people attentively listen to the true preaching that transforms lives. Because if they had not listened to the true gospel, they would still be found in the world. They would still be enjoying worldliness. But the gospel has entered through within their hearts and left a glorious mark that the world can see, that the leaders can see, that God can rejoice upon. Because of the gospel, the world around them see the power of the cross at work. One of the things the gospel did in this church, one of the things that the gospel continues to do, the gospel embarrasses false teaching.
But
how does that happen? If you have received the true gospel, false teaching goes in one ear and goes out the other ear. And that is what brings joy and thanksgiving from Paul to the church. They have received the gospel that will eradicate or that will get rid of false teaching in their minds. In other words, the scriptures were expounded faithfully for this church. They were not told or taught substitutionary stories, but the full counsel of God. Church, you can see the kind of a gospel that Paul is talking about. Look at verse number 6, he explains the gospel. He says, it is the gospel which has come to you as indeed in the whole world and is bearing fruit and increasingly, and is doing the same even among you. The gospel which was preached by the Apostle Paul, regardless of the fact that he was never in this church. The gospel which was preached by the Apostle Peter, regardless of the fact that he never planted this church. The gospel which was preached by the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of the fact that he never walked the dusty streets of Colossae, they have received the true gospel that transforms lives. The gospel that is centered in the power of the cross. That is the message that is bearing fruit. What does it mean then when he says it's bearing fruit among them? In other words, the gospel they have received, it is turning sinners into saints. It is the gospel that has turned arrogant men into humble men. It is the gospel that has turned broom flying witches into women glorifying God. Paul says, this is all there is, and because they have heard the good news. What is the good news? For God so loved the world that he gave with his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believe in him may not perish but have eternal life. The good news goes on to say, the Son of God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but so that whosoever believe may have life. And there is now no condemnation unto those who are in Christ. They have been set free from the law of sin by the law of the Spirit. That is what it means, it's bearing fruit. There's a witness, there's a true testimony of the people living for God. They understand that Jesus condescended from on high to give them a new life. He hanged on the tree to take away their sin. He died the death that me and you could not die. He gave us the life that me and you, you and I, could not end. In his death, he purchased us for God, rescuing us from the prison cell of sin and Satan. You can see that in verse number 14, he says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. And Paul calls this gospel in verse number 5 the truth. Why will Paul call this the truth? Because it is God's truth. It is the only truth. Jesus said when he was speaking to Pilate, John 18 verse 37. This is Pilate. Sorry, this is Jesus speaking to Pilate. So you are king, but it's Pilate asking first, right? Pilate says, so you are king. Jesus said, you say that I am king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world. To bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth, listen to my voice. And Paul says the gospel then has brought truth to these people. They are listening to the voice of Christ. So when you listen to the gospel, you are listening to the truth, my friends. And when you hate the gospel, you hate the truth, and those people who hate the truth, they continue to live in sin. When you hate the gospel, it becomes obvious. You become a disobedient person. You do not obey the commandments of God.
It's
actually, if, when you look at people, people despise biblical churches. Why? Because they bring the truth, and the truth is Jesus Christ. The truth exposes people's hearts. And when you find people hate Jesus, it's because they hate the truth. The reason we love Jesus is because we love the truth. He says that truth was brought in by the power of the gospel. The Colossians loved the truth. They were willing to sit under true preaching. If it was in this church today, I would say they do not mind the temporal challenges that we have around, the heat of the tent and the stinky dust of this place. They did not mind, as long as they could hear the gospel truth pinching and cutting them into their hearts. They loved the truth at all costs. They would rather lose their friends and family for the sake of the truth. And that is not common today, is it? But the people that Paul is addressing here have given anything and everything for the gospel. But asking yourself, what motivated them practically? What is it that motivated them to so love the truth to the point that they will leave the world and for the truth and delight in the gospel? Deadly. Paul is thankful for the faithful gospel preacher among them. A church deserving thanksgiving is a church that has a faithful gospel minister. Look at verse 7 and 8. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servants, he is a faithful minister of Christ in your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. You see, church, the gospel can only bear fruit if there is someone faithfully preaching the gospel truth. You can go up and down. You can search the whole world. You will never have Christianity that bear fruit unless there's a minister ministering to you, bringing the truth as it is. Remember Romans 10:14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they going to hear without someone preaching? So Paul is aware that the people have come and preached a false gospel in this church. Many false presentations of the gospel have been made before these people. But among the wolves, among those who were wearing sheep's clothes, but they were wolves as scavengers of this world, there was a true shepherd. The man who taught the truth even when everyone was entertaining the crowds. A man who taught the truth regardless of the fact that there were people having gimmicks and pulling role-playing and eloquent of speech, unnecessary jokes
just to be cool.
In this church, there was one man who was faithful in expounding the truth of Christ.
He burst into thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you. There's a minister who's leading the people in truth. Because it is faithful preaching, friends, that will motivate people to delight in the gospel message. Paul then says, I thank God that among you there is such a man who preaches the truth at all times. A man who tells the people about Jesus and their need to be saved. A man who tell of the love of God and the wrath of God. He tells of heaven and he tells of hell. He tells of joy, peace and happiness in Christ Jesus our Lord. But he also warns them against the wolves around them. He warns the church against the wolves. He says there should always be enmity between the wolves and the church, between how the world lives and how the church lives. There should always be a difference, and that difference can be brought about through the preaching of God's word by a faithful minister. He's faithfully saying to the church, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind and by the testing. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. But church, a faithful minister does not only preach the gospel faithfully. He lives a godly life before others. He is not found doing shameful things and making silly comments on social media. He is a faithful and a mature man. A gospel man. A man who understands that he is called by God for God. Paul says to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 23. 2 Timothy 2, 23. He says, have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. You need a mature man to lead you. And he says you have such a man. And I thank God for such a man, which makes me to be so shocked to see the silly comments of such men calling themselves pastors on Facebook. Unnecessary controversies, unnecessary debates. And some of them are my friends. But church, we need to transform society. And the only way to transform society, we need mature men.
Men and women who stick to the ways of the Lord. Mature leaders. Of course, I'm not saying every post in the social media that is provocative leads to quarrels, but sometimes we need to do those things saying, God said this, God didn't say that. But as women, as men, who will be leaders in the church tomorrow or who are leaders today, we need to be mature. Paul says there is a mature man around you. The church has this mature man, and this man is a gospel centered preacher. A man who preaches the gospel with a mature mind, knowing that there are other people who are looking at the church, aiming to learn in the ways the church are doing things. There's a mature man around who is teaching and leading a godly life, knowing that he's going to produce faithful men and women who will love their wives and love their husbands. Paul says in this word, friends, this church have learned the gospel. In other words, they did not come there and say, I know everything, but they said and they learned. They paid careful attention to what the minister of the word was preaching. There's a possibility that some of these people, friends, they've come to this church already knowing the name of Jesus, but they did not want that to stand before this opportunity to know more and more about Jesus. So they were welcoming the message of the truth. And I think that is why we are here, friends. That is why we are here. Indeed, to worship God, to sing to the Lord, to have fellowship with one another, but above all, to learn more and more of Christ. Know Him and the power of His resurrection. So in hearing the gospel, they believed. And in believing, they obeyed. And that is important, friends, because there are people who hear the gospel today and they do not believe. And some who hear the gospel and claim to have believed, they do not obey. But this church heard and believed, and in believing, they obeyed. The Apostle John says in 1 John 5 verse 2, by this we know that we are the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. Believe and obey. And only a true minister will tell the people to believe and to obey. A faithful minister is needed. Because faithful Christians are needed. I remember some time ago, a non-Christian and a Christian, they were having quarrels. And the non-Christian lady continued to provoke this Christian lady. And until Mama Ruti or the pastor's wife came to speak to them, trying to reconcile these people. But the lady continued to provoke the Christian. The non-Christian continued to swear and to call names. At the end of the day, the Mamuruti, the pastor's wife, went to the Christian lady and said, "You know what? Actually, if it was me, I would have smacked her already." I would have given her the stone cold stunner already. You know what does this mean? There is no consistency in the life, the Christian life and the Christian message. That is why we need faithful preachers. Paul says to Timothy, all the women likewise are to be reverent and obey, not slanderers or slaves of so much wine. Why? They are to teach what is good. So the faithfulness that Paul is preaching up is talking about here, church, is what? Is the preaching of the gospel in the midst of an ear tingling crowd. The preaching of the gospel in the midst of grass eaters, petrol drinkers, and doom lovers. The Epaphras preached the gospel and he never aimed to entertain everyone. He never aimed to win crowd, but to preach the truth. Epaphras is not to preach to offend people, but in order that the truth may be heard, in order that the Christian may be kept in the truth. My question is this, friends. Can we say the same about our pastors and leaders today? Are they faithful? Unless we don't know what faithfulness is anymore, because no one is faithful. Friends, a faithful minister is the one who shepherds the flock, is the one who feeds the sheep, the one who nourishes the sheep. A faithful minister is the minister who loves the sheep and he does not care of the stink of the sheep. Is that the church you want? Is that the church you belong to? Is that not what the world needs today? A church who loves God, who loves brothers and sisters, a church who believes the gospel, a church who have faithful ministers. Here's my message for you as I close. Paul gives thanks to God for the church for these reasons. They have a recommendable Christian character. Let there be people who talks about your Christian qualities. Is it possible that the leaders of the church can give a recommendable testimony about you? Is it that possible? How do you know you have a recommendable Christian character? You love God. You love the saints. You forgive those who trespass against you. You pray for one another. You care for one another. Second thing Paul is thankful about is the power of the gospel. Has the power of the gospel worked in your life? Is that evident? Thirdly, do you have a faithful minister? Because if you don't have a faithful minister, don't waste your time. Leave. Leave. It is not worth it. It is risky to your soul. But as you look at a faithful minister, are you a faithful servant yourself? Have you received the gospel truth? Do you remain faithful? Love God, love the saints, love the gospel, love God with all your heart. That gives something of thanksgiving to the minister of the gospel, that gives something of thanksgiving to God Himself. That shows you are a Christian. Let's pray.
We thank you, O Lord, for your word indeed, for the truth that we have heard. And indeed, we are thankful for this gospel, the truth that has even reached us here in the place of Olive and Homebush. And we pray, O Lord, that this truth may grow, that it may consume the whole place, that it may reach even in those places where there is no truth, in those places where there are false teachers, where they are your children amongst these false teachers. That indeed, O Lord, we may look all around us, that we may give thanks to you for the work that you are doing amongst us. That you may produce the fruit of the gospel in us as your children. That people indeed, they may look at us and say, indeed, the gospel is alive. That the gospel is able to transform their lives. So help us even as we go into our works tomorrow, that we may be faithful Christians. We may be true Christians, O Lord, that the world will look at and give glory to you and give praise to you. Give us love for one another, O Lord. May we love you. May we love our brethren. May we live according to the testimony of the truth. We give you thanks and honor. In Jesus' name, Amen.